Uh-oh.
Yeah. Be careful what you say.
Yes, one of my colleagues is in a Zoom meeting and then never thought twice about what she said and then read it in the run of times a couple days later. And one of her friends called and said, oh, great quote. And she was stunned and amazed. So, someone's always listening. You received in your packets the December 7, 2020 minutes. And had a chance to review those. Unless there's an objection from any of the participants, we'll adopt those as presented. Hearing no objections, they are adopted and approved. Public comment. Rita, Bonnie, do we have anyone that wanted to join us from the public?
No.
He was raising his hand for a second.
Yeah, we do have Peter Stevenson with BRSA joining us.
Welcome, Peter.
Thank you. Greetings.
Greetings only? Very good. You're welcome to make any other comments you'd like.
No, just glad to see everyone again.
And sure, early and often, right?
Yep.
With that, we will close the public comment, and I'll acknowledge at 4:02, my good friend Terry Short appears to have joined us. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon.
Your pay is restored and your dessert restored when we get back in person. It had been
fantastic.
Next item is consideration of the PDC Draft Budget 22, and I'd like to call on Lee Bell to educate us and walk us through.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank. As you received in your email or printed copy, the fiscal 22 proposed draft budget totals $6.1 million, which is a decrease of a little over 5% from last year. The decrease is 100% pass-through funds and reimbursement grants are 100% responsible for the decrease. The budget does include an increase in the per capita assessment, annual assessment, which is the first increase since 2010, and also increased annual state support through DHCD. Wages and benefits will be down from the revised budget roughly 1%. We are including a 3% cost of living adjustment, as well as a modest merit increase for eligible employees, which amounts to a little over 1% of compensation. Direct hours will be up 4%. And what I mean by direct is things that we can bill to state and federal agencies. At the end of the day, we are trying to replenish the development fund, which we used last year to fund the match for ARC for the Appalachian region, so that we could relieve our those localities of their match responsibility. And I'm happy to go into more detail. I assume you've all read it, or answer any questions that you have. I know Carolyn Dole is an accountant, so I'm happy to be peppered with any questions that.
That's a recovering accountant.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Lee. Members of the committee have any questions for Lee regarding the proposed budget? It is very straightforward. I think, I'm not sure who's best to speak to this, but there's one modest change relative to, and maybe you touched on this and I missed it, but the reviews will no longer be done for employees on their anniversary dates. They will speak to that.
That's correct, yes, sir. So as a result of the compensation study that we had from a third party consultant last year, all employee reviews will be done the fourth quarter of the fiscal year, and any merit or any other changes will be effective July 1st of the following fiscal year. So that is a change. Previously, employee reviews were coincided with the anniversary date of the employee's date of employment, I guess, and compensation changes were in arrears also on the anniversary date. But this allows us to effectively recuperate any changes in pay without a lag that was a problem previously.
What was the date of the compensation study?
The date of the compensation study? Ooh, I'd have to check on that. But we, our consultant wrapped it up, I would say, and I'm using round numbers here, 6 to 9 months ago.
Okay.
So, and using market rates for other PDCs and local governments in terms of ranges for compensation per job title, I guess.
And clearly, fall of 2020 is all I'm looking for, and that would be approximate.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And remind me, when we compare ourselves with other PDCs, I know that our PDC does not, I'm not sure the proper term, but does not qualify or utilize Social Security.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Some of them do.
They do.
So from looking at the compensation study, a detail like that would have been taken into effect.
Well, yes. So the compensation study was based on salaries, and whether or not we participate in Social Security is really moot, because we compensate for the fact that we don't with a FICA replacement plan for retirement. So at the end of the day, it's basically a wash, except that our plan allows for employees to participate directly in their retirement versus being reliant upon Social Security.
Just want to make sure we're looking at apples and apples and not
absolutely. Apples. Well, and you know, that's a good point. Because what we also took into consideration the fact that we, as a policy, work a 37 and a half hour week, whereas other PDCs may work a 40 hour week, or local governments may work a 40 hour week. Now, we're not unique in this instance of working a 37 and a half hour week, but the plan did take into consideration in terms of normalizing the hourly pay rates, if you will, for the fact that we utilize a 37 and a half hour week. So right. There is no bias to the upside, I guess.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And my last question, how have we communicated to municipalities the increase? I know we had talked about it. We backed off during the pandemic. Were they called to get a love note? How do we communicate that?
I'll let Bonnie touch on that.
Frank, I can answer that. Back in January, all of our localities asked us to submit our requests for funding, and we did that through a letter. Back in January, we submitted our request to all of our localities, which included that statement that we were increasing our dues from 70 cents to 80 cents. They all knew that, that we had postponed that. We were going to do it the previous year, but because of the pandemic, we postponed it. And we've received several letters from localities already saying that that budget was adopted. So I have not heard of anybody who has not approved that increase. As a matter of fact, I believe they all are, all the managers are aware of it. So it should not be a problem.
Terrific. Thank you.
Can I add one more thing to Lee's presentation? Please. On our FY22 budget? One thing to keep in mind, don't get too comfortable with this budget. It is going to change. We know that it's going to change because we have a lot of projects that are in the pipeline and that are pending, and that grants that we're going to apply for, that we've already applied for but haven't heard. Some of them, one of them you're going to hear about just here in a few minutes from Elizabeth, and that's a grant that's going to be made available to all PDCs in the state from the Virginia Housing. They were formerly VHDA. that could increase our budget by $2 million over a three-year period. We also have several CDBG grant applications that we've helped our localities apply for. For the city of Buena Vista, we helped them apply for $1 million grant that we should hear about in the next couple of months. We won't receive that $1 million. That will go directly to the city, but we will turn around and manage that grant for them. And our cost to manage that grant will come to us probably in the, around, I think $50,000 is the allowable cost of that. Also the same for Goshen. We helped them apply for a CDBG grant that we'll probably hear about in a couple of months. We hope to go after some body broadband grants for the Rockbridge County. And those are gonna be huge grants. Those are in the usually in the $2 to $5 million range. So there are a lot of things that are out there that we just haven't heard about. That we did not put in this draft budget because they're, you know, we're not sure about when that money will come through and how much. But we will be doing a budget revision probably in the first quarter of the next fiscal year to increase that budget. So our budget is going to grow, we predict. So.
And Bonnie, if you can clarify, when you look at like that $1 million to Buena Vista, you'd say approximately $50,000. Will that $50,000, will you bill an agency and be, so there's cash flow issues related to that for the Plan District Commission, but.
Well, actually there are no cash flow issues. That would be a reimbursable along with Buena Vista. I mean, it's not a, we're fronting them money by any stretch though.
We'll enter into a contract with the city of Buena Vista for our services, and that'll be, we'll help them request the money from the state agency, the Department of Housing and Community Development, and then they'll reimburse us for our services. That's how we typically do those types. But yeah, as Lee said, there's never a cash flow issue. All the grants are on a reimbursable basis.
We had somebody join us there. I can't quite tell who it is.
That's Mr. Ritchie, Dewey Ritchie. And Mr. Ritchie needs to adjust his camera because we can only see the bottom half of his face.
Let me see if I can get it done. Keep going with your meeting. I'll keep trying. I'll try.
All right. Mr. Friedman, I don't think you've met Mr. Ritchie yet. He is our new representative on our commission representing Rockingham County.
Terrific.
Glad to meet all of y'all.
Glad you're with us, and if you have any questions, let us know.
Yes, sir.
Bonnie, my perception is do we need to have a vote and approval of this proposed budget to then carry to the full board?
Yes, sir. That would be ideal.
Any other questions for Lee, or if there are not, I would welcome your consideration.
I'll make that motion. Rhonda Cooper.
Rhonda?
A second. Terry Short.
Terry Short with the second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, a roll call vote. Mr. Hirschman.
Aye.
Mr. Nope. Hicklin?
Yeah.
Eddie Hicklin?
Aye.
Rhonda Cooper?
Aye.
Carolyn Dahl?
Aye.
Terry Short?
Aye.
And are those all the voting members, or is Mr. Ritchie a voting member? You're good, Bonnie, but...
Not on the executive committee.
Terrific. So we have a unanimous vote to take it to the full commission at our next meeting. Thank you all very much. Lee, thank you for organizing, and rest of staff for the role that you played in getting us to this point. We'll carry it forward. Next item is Virginia Housing PDC funding, and we'll call on Miss Elizabeth.
Great, good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
We are excited to share an opportunity for our agency that has quickly come together through Virginia Housing, which Bonnie noted is formerly named the Virginia Housing Development Authority. There is a board memo in your packet, but we wanted to take a few minutes to brief you on this timely initiative. Virginia Housing was created to help Virginians attain quality, affordable housing. They do all things related to housing, first-time home buyer mortgages, financing, home buyer classes, counseling, administering federal voucher programs, just anything related to housing. And much of it is accomplished through a variety of public and private partnerships with localities, community organizations, developers, realtors, and lenders. And now Virginia Housing intentionally wants to work hand in hand with planning districts. A couple of weeks ago, Virginia Housing announced the Planning District Commission Housing Development Program. This is a brand new program, and only PDCs are eligible to apply for this funding. Virginia Housing knows that PDCs have great connections to their localities and community partners, and that PDCs are well-versed in administering programs and grants. They know that we are experienced in bringing groups together to tackle regional issues, and housing is generally recognized as an issue within regional markets. Because of this, PDCs are in a unique position to address the shortage of affordable and workforce housing throughout Virginia. So here are some details about this funding opportunity. The PDC Housing Development Program is a three-year program. Funding ranges from $1 to $3 million and is based on the PDC's population. There are three population tiers, and the CSPDC falls in the middle one. So we are eligible for $2 million over 3 years. The program is focused on the actual production of new affordable housing units. This could be through construction of new units, rehabilitation of existing vacant units, or the adaptive reuse of existing structures. The intended outcome of this program is an increase in the inventory of affordable units, particularly in underserved markets. So at the end of the 3 years, the expectation by Virginia Housing is that at least 10 units are added for every $1 million received in funding. For us, this would be 20 units, which seems very reasonable. The grant funding will support the CSPDC in designing a program for our region, bringing the needed partners together, setting up a process to select projects, and then making sure that the projects are completed by our partners. Administering housing projects is not new to us at the CSPDC. We administer the region's first-time home buyer program. We've been involved in many CDBG housing initiatives, most recently the Greenhouse Village project in Rockbridge County involving their Habitat for Humanity. And we've been part of housing studies. We helped Bath County a couple of years ago with one that was funded through Virginia Housing. The work through the Virginia Housing Development Program would be new for us, but it builds on our past experience. And through this opportunity, we would be setting up a regional program to add affordable housing units within our region. During just about every economic development conversation nowadays, housing is mentioned as a challenge for talent attraction. We have jobs available, but where do those workers live? Just last week, Bonnie had a conversation with someone at VEDP. And they said that some companies looking to start or expand their business in Virginia are now asking about the housing situation. I heard a presentation last Friday during an SVP meeting on the residential market in the Harrisonburg-Rockingham area. Housing affordability definitely is a topic that is front and center right now. And the staff at Virginia Housing is committed to helping us prepare the application, design a work plan for our region, and complete projects. So Bonnie and I will be talking with our peers tomorrow to see how other PDCs are approaching this opportunity. As of now, we intend to apply for this funding. Applications are due June 4th, and we would expect to know within about a month whether we've been funded or not. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Bonnie attended a webinar last week on this opportunity.
Members of the committee have any questions for Elizabeth? I think your microphones aren't working. Just kidding. Elizabeth, how do you define affordable housing?
80% of AMI.
Okay. And
area median income.
And this being within the PDC, if the PDC is successful in obtaining the $2 million, the administration of that, can it be split amongst several municipalities? So for instance, if Habitat wanted to do something to partner with you, they could apply for some of that funding, or it would be competitive amongst the municipalities, or how would that actually be? Yeah.
So that would be part of the process. We would identify partners and what projects they would be interested in moving forward. And then we'll have to come up with some kind of selection process as to which projects would get funded.
So for instance, if there was a developer in the Lexington area, which is an opportunity zone, and they wanted to build 50 unit rental that fit into the AMI, they could apply for some of the funds to use for their project.
Yes.
So, okay.
So Virginia Housing has set out this whole process to get us geared up to be able to get to a point with all those partnerships and a process and how to get the money out from us to where it needs to go to build units and add units to our inventory.
Terrific. And that application will be in June 4th, which next week.
Yes, very short application window.
Carolyn.
Yes, I'm assuming it's a short application window because the expectation is to give all the PDCs the money to make it happen. I just wanted to put a plug in for any kind of nonprofits that are particularly geared to those with mental illness, ID, substance abuse issues. I don't know what other localities have, but I know here in Stanton, Augusta, Waynesboro, we have the Valley Supportive Housing. And they're experienced at, they've got HUD, they've done HUD projects, I don't know what all. So all of those would more than meet the criteria.
Right, thank you for mentioning them. We have already had a conversation with Virginia Housing, Valley Supportive, Shenandoah, or Valley Supportive Housing, and we're looking forward to incorporating them into this application as a partner.
Terrific. Any other questions for Elizabeth? Fantastic. Elizabeth, thank you for delivering that message and good luck with the application.
Thank you.
Hope it's short and simplistic.
They never are.
Never short enough. The next item is the American Rescue Plan funding, and I'll call on Bonnie to walk us through that.
Thank you, Frank. Frank and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago about the role that the PDC could play and the help that we could offer our member jurisdictions with some of this unprecedented money that is possibly coming through the American Rescue Fund and some other big federal funding initiatives such as the Infrastructure Fund. And so I wanted to talk a little bit with you all to let you know what we are doing here at the PDC and what we have been doing over the past year through the pandemic, and then also see if there's anything else that you can think of that we could be doing to be able to help our jurisdictions as our role as the planning district. But one of the things I've been doing and my staff, we've been meeting with all the valley managers, the city managers and the county administrators and their assistants and deputies for the past year. We meet every Wednesday at 11 o'clock all by Zoom, of course. And we host those meetings, and we started meeting a year ago to talk about the CARES funding. And we helped those localities track that money. We did matrices. We shared that information with them. And it was just truly wonderful how they all leaned on each other. And what are you going to do with your CARES money? And is this allowable? And we did a lot of research. Well, recently now, we've been turning our attention to the American Rescue Fund and focusing on that. We'll do the same thing with them. We're following the Treasury Department guidance and sharing that with all the Valley managers. And so we are on top of the American Rescue Fund and those monies that are going to come to those local governments and the best use of those funds that they are wanting to see. One of the things that's different about the American Rescue Funds and the CARES funding is that towns did not receive their own CARES funding. So with American Rescue Funds, towns now will be able to receive their own direct allocation. And on that spreadsheet that I sent you, you can see where the towns are going to receive about $118 million. We have 11 towns. So that's a lot. I'm sorry, $21 million. For the towns. So with our 11 towns, that's a lot of money for some of these towns that have never seen that kind of money before. So we are now doing similar, where we're gonna call all the towns together. We're scheduling a meeting with the 7 towns in Rockingham County in the next couple of weeks to talk about the American Rescue Funds and how the PDC can help them, make the most out of their funding opportunities and, what's eligible, what's not eligible, doing any kind of data digging that we need to do with them or, grants management to help them use their funds in the best possible way. Usually, being a regional organization, we always try to do things on a regional basis that makes a lot of sense. Maybe all the towns can go in together and do something together, or our subregions could go together, like a Buena Vista, Lexington, and Rockbridge, maybe sense for them to pool their funding. So we're always looking for those kinds of opportunities and to leverage other funds. We're, really reaching out to all of our localities to see how we can help in that area. Last year we received, through the CARES funding, we received a $400,000 grant over the next 2 years for our EDA CARES program. And one of the things that we're doing with that is a recovery and resiliency plan and many activities under that. But one of the things that we're doing that's been very popular is we're hosting what we call rural attraction roundtables. We know that this pandemic has shown the light on a lot of things and uncovered a lot of things, but what can our small rural communities and our region do to attract the talent that we need for the jobs? How can we help them survive this pandemic and recover? So we've hosted a number of these workshops and they've been very well attended, and they focus on workforce development in the rural areas. The last one that we had dealt with teleworkers and remote workers. We know a lot of people are working from home now. They have the ability to move to this area and work from home. We had the folks from VEDP, the State Agency on Economic Development, talk about their study that they did nationwide of what where people are moving, where they're going, which states are they moving to telework, and it was very revealing. And we also had the folks from Telework Virginia talk about teleworking policy. Our next roundtable will be focused on broadband, broadband. We know that's critical for our rural areas to have broadband so people can work and, be able to do their businesses and track businesses. So we also have what we call our COVID-19 recovery dashboard. It's up on our website. It has a lot of data, timely data on, the number of COVID vaccines that have been given in our region, what the meals and lodging taxes look like, all this other good data that's very timely. And that's one of the, a lot of people are going to that website to get information. So that's another service that we're providing to our region and to our localities is gathering all of this data. We've also been involved more specifically with some localities. We're, of course, working with the town of Goshen. We helped them apply for a planning grant. They have an old abandoned school that had been the heart and soul of their community for many years. It's been pretty much abandoned. They're looking to convert that to a multi-use community center, bring in some services that the town doesn't have, kind of spur economic development there. And we're working very closely with the town of Goshen, and they're hoping to use some of their American Rescue funds to help fund that project. We're also talking with Bath County. Eddie, you probably know this. A lot of kids that were sent home to go to school, do schooling online, forced a lot of parents to give up their jobs to take care of their children. Yeah. There is no daycare, licensed daycare, I don't believe, in Bath County, and that's a problem. So we're looking at child care initiatives in Bath County and Highland County that could address that need so parents can go to work and have a safe place to leave their children during the day. In Buena Vista, there's a lot going on. There's more going on in Buena Vista than's gone on there for years. We're hoping to hear that they will receive this $1 million grant to renovate their downtown and do lots of other infrastructure improvements in the city. There's a Go Virginia application that we're helping them work on to bring a manufacturing and ag tech center to the city of Buena Vista. We're also working with Rockbridge County and Bark Electric Co-op about broadband. We're currently administering a very large broadband grant for Rockbridge County, and we're looking to apply for another one, perhaps in collaboration with Augusta County. Broadway and Timberville. Mr. Ritchie knows about this. There's an initiative to convert an old rail line owned by Norfolk Southern into a multi-use greenway and bikeway. And the town of Broadway and Timberville are looking to perhaps use some of their American Rescue funds to help further that initiative. So we're doing a lot of things to help our communities make the best decisions about how to use this money and leverage it with other grants. We always say, use your money to match a bigger money. We're also looking at other federal money, not just this $118 million that's coming to our region, to our local government. There's a lot of other big money out there through EDA. We meet with our EDA rep on a regular basis to talk about big EDA competitive grants that our localities could go after for water, sewer, broadband, transit. There was an article in the Washington Post yesterday. There's a big national push to make all public transit fare free. What does that mean for our Bright system or Afton Express system? Would that be beneficial to our communities and our citizens if they didn't have to pay to get on a bus? So we're looking into that as well. One of the things that Frank, mentioned, what are we doing for the agricultural community? Because that is something that is very important to our region in particular. We've just finished up with an agricultural enterprise center feasibility study, looking at what would it take to build a multi-use agricultural center where we had a food hub and a commercial kitchen and a meat hub. And the results of that study are out. They're on our website. And we're working with a group of stakeholders that include a lot of the farmers on what would it take to bring this facility to reality. And we need $5 million. Find somebody that wants to operate this. So we'll be looking at some of those American Rescue funds to see if that would be a good fit. There's a big emphasis on food insecurity in this country and our state. And so maybe this food enterprise center could address some of those. So we got a lot going on. We're super, super busy, but it's a good, it's a good place to be as we come out of this pandemic. The economy is, looks like it's busting loose, and we want to make sure that we, take advantage of this opportunity to make improvements and recover and grow from this pandemic. But I'm glad to hear if you all think we need to focus in other areas, or if there's things that you know that are going on that we don't know about, we're glad to take a look at those and see where we can help our jurisdiction.
Obviously, we have, thank you, Bonnie, for that presentation. We have such incredibly diverse and expansive areas with different needs. And I think the PDC does a great job of meeting each municipality with where they are and what they're trying to achieve. But the conversation I had with Bonnie was really to challenge her and her staff to look at this. We know, relatively speaking, we've got 118 million coming, and there are a lot of great projects on the books, enough to make you have your tongue hanging out for work for the foreseeable future. But I said, I hope that the PDC can be very futuristic in working with Washington or other for competitive dollars, because all of us, again, have different needs, and anything we can partner on, whether it be water and sewer, as Bonnie mentioned, I just think it's really important for the PDC not to facilitate, but have perhaps pivot a little bit and take the lead on some of these things, going out and chasing some of these competitive dollars, which would mean perhaps adding staff and different commitments. And I know Lexington, Buena Vista, and Rockbridge County have had conversations about sending money to the PDC to fund a position that could pursue grants like this. So it's a different way of thinking than we've thought in the past, and perhaps than the way the PDC has worked in the past. But folks, if you haven't been paying attention, we're in a new world, about to be post-pandemic, and we got to really be thinking about new and different ways to achieve the goals that we have before us. And I'm just thankful to have the hardworking and thoughtful minds of the smiling faces in the windows at our staff helping us and guiding us, because the connections that you all have on the state level and the federal level are critical to us as municipalities, and specifically us as a PDC lending support to those to our member municipalities in getting our constituents and friends and neighbors served very well. So I'll step down out of the altar, but very passionate, excited about this, because there's so many, it's just different. And it's a great opportunity. And I feel really strongly that the PDC can take strides for all of us collaborating and helping us get where we need to be. Anybody have any questions on the ARP?
This is Carolyn Dull. I wanted to mention, and it's particularly important for city representatives. Senator Kane, when he was coming through, and some of you may know this, said that as soon as this bill was passed, he and Senator Warner were hitting up the Treasury Department and whoever else was in charge to make sure they understood that Virginia, the only place in the country, cities are independent and it's unique. And so the difference is between the, for a city, you'd have gotten the left-hand column rather than the right-hand column on the spreadsheet. And it's significantly improved. So that was, for cities, that was a great thing. And he also said that we need to be thinking big. And so I think the PDC has a role in there because it's like, this is the time where you, instead of thinking, geez, we need this, but we don't have enough money. It's like, okay, we got money. What can we do? I mean, I can't remember being in this situation ever. And particularly they were emphasizing broadband and water and sewer. And pretty much if you've got those things, you can go for it. So it's a real opportunity. And I'm assuming I picked the right columns. I can't really see since I've had cataract surgery, but I think it's the left and the right.
Old accountants, rules never change. It's the left and the right. You're exactly correct. Other members of the committee have questions, comments, concerns? If not, we'll get an amen on the ARP. Bonnie, thank you again. And under other business, wanted to bring up the subject of in-person meetings. Our next meeting is scheduled for June 21st. And as an executive committee, I'm hopeful that we can give direction to Bonnie and the team of our pleasure. I anticipate the governor is going to lift restrictions. Once the emergency restriction is lifted, Zoom will no longer be an option. Currently, we do not have a policy allowing folks to attend electronically, and that's something that we may want to consider. I know the city of Lexington has adopted, under certain circumstances, 2 to maybe 3 times a year, you can attend electronically. In person, certainly preferable. So there are two topics or issues that I'm raising under other business. One, your preference for June 21st to be either electronic or in person. I would advocate for in person. And if there are any criteria that you would want to address with that, and welcome staff's input. And then the other is the idea of the policy to allow for electronic in the non-emergency phase. So first, June 21st in person. Any thoughts, observations, support?
Frank, at the last full commission meeting, it was the consensus of the full commission that we would have our June 21st meeting by Zoom virtually, because we're still able to do that, and that going from there, we would decide. I don't think we really have a choice. I think it would have to be in person. The governor is expected to lift that state of emergency at the end of June.
Okay, so
that would be the only, yeah.
June 21st is to be on Zoom.
Pardon me?
You anticipate, and from the last meeting, which I missed, the June 21st meeting will be via Zoom?
Yes, sir.
Okay, terrific. Thank you for that guidance.
Yeah. I think at the last meeting we said we would decide what happened in August, but at that time we didn't know when the emergency ordinance would be lifted. So now that we know that, so I guess we could look at our August meeting as being in person. I believe it's August 19th.
Yes. Anyone have an objection to working towards an August 19 in-person meeting?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me if everyone's been vaccinated.
Yeah, please alert Brenda. I hope she survived all of the pandemic, given her business and is in good health and good spirits.
We may be able to find a place that could be maybe outdoors, so we're not all packed into that conference room too. We'll try to work on that as well.
And I think developing a policy is a good idea, because, you know, when this is a regional commission, and I know I serve on the state Criminal Justice Services Board, and we have been way more efficient and we've had way better attendance when it's Zoom, because particularly when you're at some distance and it could be bad weather in Highland County or, you know, and so it's good to have some kind of plan B for folks. You know, maybe they don't drive at night, so in the middle of winter, they would rather Zoom than and then have to drive in.
Absolutely. Very, very good points. Unless there's an objection, I'd ask staff to work on an appropriate policy to bring to our 21st meeting that we can work towards having in place for the future.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I might even just throw out the idea of not to volunteer Augusta County, but, you know, if for some reason, if you never know when the rain's going to hit, it's supposed to be raining right now, right? But as an alternative to funding for August, is maybe to the Augusta County Government Center. It's spacious, so.
Yeah, and Mr. Wells has offered that to us. I think he offered that to us at our last meeting, so.
Oh, great.
That would be a good ideal spot.
Another ideal spot perhaps might be our Bright facility, so that folks who aren't familiar with it can get acquainted, and maybe it'll spur somebody are we still looking for a tenant?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Time to come out of pandemic. So that may be a good alternative. And as great as outdoor sounds, it can be really hot in August. So we may want to melt inside.
I was thinking of an air-conditioned barn somewhere.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, that's not outdoors. Now throw me a curveball. Excellent. Any other items or issues or concerns to come before the committee? If not, Eddie, I know you've got a long drive back home, like usual, leaving Stanton, so just kidding. Thank you for joining us, and for everybody being here. Thank you for the work that you're doing in your communities and that you're doing for our region. Greatly appreciate it. And unless there's anything else, we will stand adjourned.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. It's only Monday.
See y'all.
Yeah.